don't know what's coming up. It's me. Okay. So are we good to go now, Heather? Okay. Does everybody hear me okay? That I don't like to hang by the microphone because I feel like a rock star and you might not want to see that. Anyways, my task, and I've done this 3 of the last 4 years about, you know, career talks and extension. Nobody gets experience in grad school in extension. If they do, it's like this much, okay? But I like to look at this as giving you an example of what you could do, the fun you could have in extension. So let's go ahead and get started. I've already lost my, I don't know. Oh, here it is. Okay. Can somebody tell me what extension does? Louder, come on. Talk to farmers. Okay. Who else? Well, the identity crisis that extension has is we talk to farmers. We're Mr. Kimball in the university Jeep, where we're going to go talk to Oliver. Okay. That's what people think extension is. It's agriculture, folks. We're way more than agriculture, but I mean, we're going to talk about agriculture here, okay? And I have to tell you, you know, the struggle is real at home because my wife's ringtone for me, what do you think it is? Green Acres. So, I mean, so it just reinforces that idea that extension is just for the farmer. So now in Mississippi, I mean, we are proud to say that we have extension offices in all 82 counties in the state where we have at least one special, you know, county specialist. Ag, not in all of them, family consumer science, 4-H, but we man those offices every single day of the year. So that's a positive for our population. So what do I do? I'm an extension research professor of ornamental horticulture at MSU. I do the ornamental plant promotion, Southern Gardening, for MSU. And that's TV, newspaper, and radio. I got the face for radio. Okay, so I understand that. So, but what I want to do is kind of give you a day in the life of this horticulturist. Because what I do, there's not many positions around the country because our universities don't understand the importance and the impact we can have having a face suggesting ways to be successful in your garden. I mean, that's the thing. So don't think if you're, who's graduating pretty soon? Okay, I see one in the back. There's probably not a position like mine in extension when you get out. But you can make it that way. Okay? So, day in the life of me. Okay, I do television 52 segments a year with Southern Gardening. And I have to tell you, I am the executive producer of Southern Gardening as well as the host. It's just a title only. It sounds really impressive, but we do 52 columns a year. We do 260 radio episodes a year. I'm a busy boy, okay? We do social media. I'm going to talk a lot about social media because there's some importance that we need to put on that besides just checking up what your friends are doing on Facebook. But from an information delivery system, it is brilliant, and we need to, you know, do it. So let's keep going here. So now this is the part where I'm going to talk about contacts. If you want to be an extension, what is the currency, academic currency that you can give your administrators? They don't care how many talks you had. They don't care about, you know, answering the phone, just doing mundane things. They want how many people did you interact with. So, unfortunately with Southern Gardening, It's all indirect. We can kind of infer how many people we interact, but they have to make the conscious effort to do it. So TV, we have 400,000 viewers a week times 52. My director is happy with me, okay? Newsprint, I have up to 1.6 million readers a week just in the state of Mississippi. My director is happy with me, and that's a good thing. But what I want to talk about is social media. Who's on Facebook here? Who's live tweeting this presentation? Okay, thank you for doing that, because I'd be really disappointed if somebody was. But social media is the way of the future for us. We need to think about social media as a work tool, not just for fun. Now, and I say that because I have been called a teenage girl on Facebook. Okay, that pretty much describes what I do, but I'm learning to use it as an effective extension tool. We started doing Facebook Lives a couple years ago. I'm going to talk about that. But the biggest thing is you get your information out in front of a large audience very quickly. Here, I'm talking to this group, and there's, let's see, 5, 10, 15, 20, 20, 20, 20. Okay, I'm going to be, you know, really generous, and there's 100 people standing here listening to me talk. Okay, so I'm speaking to 100 people. We get on social media, we can look at thousands within minutes if you're providing the right material. So part of what I do, the main thing, what I'm recognized is my non-resident instruction mode. It's impressive, isn't it? As long as you're seeing what I'm seeing. I mean, but let's face it. When we're talking to folks, they have an attention span of a gnat. So we have to do something to catch their interest. And I like to look at it as edutainment. We do something that's just like, what are you doing? And then we give them the goods. That's the way I look at it. Now, you're going to have to indulge me here, because I'm going to give you a full dose of what I do, if it'll work. This is one of the things that you'll find.
Every year, a horticultural crime spree occurs, and that means the horticulture CSI unit is back in action. At this time of year, we see countless cases of murder, and crepe myrtle is the victim. I'm going to share some pruning tips with you to keep you from being the perp. We see this crime against horticulture all around us, where someone has hard pruned their crepe myrtles to control their size. The trouble is, crepe myrtles are extremely resilient to being butchered. They bloom on the current season's growth, and the bad pruning is glossed over, not to mention the gross and large knots on the branches. And let's face it, just because you can, doesn't make it right. Here's some tips on how and where to prune your crepe myrtles. First, decide if you even need to prune. Start at the base and remove any suckers. These will always grow whether the tree is pruned or not. Remove branches that are growing back towards the center of the canopy. Also remove branches that are crossing or rubbing against each other, cutting back to a larger branch. Remove seed heads in late winter or early spring only if they're within reach. Once the tree becomes a tall, mature plant, allow nature to take its course. It'll be okay. If you'd like more information on selecting the proper size, pruning, and feeding of crepe myrtles, see the Mississippi State University Extension publication, Crepe Myrtle, Flower of the South. If you use these pruning tips, you can stop the crap and save the crepes. I'm horticulturist Gary Bachman, and I'll see you next time on Southern Gardening. It's okay, buddy.
Now, from the more mundane things that we do as extension agents, you have to learn how to play 20 questions. You'll get somebody come into the office, and they've got this plant. Okay, I got to get closer for this. I want to make sure you hear this. This plant has been beautiful in their yard. It's been fantastic, but 5 years ago, it started doing this. Now, okay, so this has been going on for multiple years. It is not an exaggeration. So you have to figure out what's really going on. And so you just start asking questions. And it's almost like the crime scene investigator, the police work. You get the people talking and they'll incriminate themselves. But you talk and talk and talk and they'll say something and you'll say, that's the problem. And they'll say, you're kidding me. And I say, I'm an extension specialist. Trust me. Okay. But that's what happens. You need to get people talking because they look at cause and effect and it's not necessarily the case. Let's see. You need to do workshops. You need to get out there and speak to people. This is a couple of my smaller workshops. I'm not bragging or anything. You know, but you give your presentation, but be available afterwards because people want to talk to you. They want the information direct from the source. That's something that's a change in our gardening paradigm. People aren't trusting magazines. They're not trusting people. They want to talk to you. So be available to that and be personable. It's highly important. Okay. You have to do traditional extension publications. You know, a lot of the, if you want to say the things that were holding these back in the past, we needed a budget to print. So now we've got the internet. We've all got extension home web pages. We can write publications very specific, have it uploaded as a PDF. It's print on demand. Doesn't cost us a thing printing wise. There's cost there. But one thing I did several years ago, when I write my publications, I want to personalize it. So anything I do is for the Mississippi gardener. You know, we can look at that here up in this corner, sub-irrigated containers for the Mississippi gardener. And when somebody gets that pub and they read that, the perception is I wrote that for them. And it's very powerful to work on these type of associations. I was going to talk about social media. Don't discount this. I mean, it's part of my annual evaluation every year, how many contacts I have. Am I running over, Heather? Okay, well, first of all, I'm a newly minted fellow. I'm going to take as long as I need, okay? I'm just saying that. Okay, never mind. Now, when we look at social media and traditional extension programming, I like to look at and compare Coke versus Kodak. Before I even start, who's heard of Kodak or who hasn't heard of Kodak? Okay, you guys are making my point. Your check's in the mail, okay? Who uses Kodak? We have two out of, I think there's like 5,000 people here, right? But consider Coca-Cola and what they've done. The original Coke was full of yummy sugar, right? And everybody loved that. But people were not wanting to get fat drinking regular Coke, so they had Diet Coke. People weren't wanting to expose themselves to cancer risk, so they went to Coke Zero, which I have no earthly idea what the heck is in a Coke Zero if there's nothing there, right? People didn't want to drink pop. But they're willing to spend $5 a bottle, so they made Dasani water. And then people got tired of water. It's like so water. But they came up with flavored Dasani. So you kind of, there's like a pattern here of meeting demands. Coke responded. Kodak didn't. Extension needs to follow Coke's example. We need to adapt and meet the needs of our clientele, however we need to do it. And the traditional programming is going the way of the dinosaur. I'm going to tell you that right now. I've seen this over the last, I don't know how many years, but I can tell you, we're going to that social network. Get on board. So, anyways, Facebook. We've had the Southern Gardening Facebook page, for 6 or 7 years now. And we're mediocre as far as likes and follows. Every time somebody liked it, it warmed my heart, you know. But we're up to about 6,500 likes and follows. Follows are like 6,700. So some people follow us but don't like us. It's all this funky Facebook data. But we've got about 6,500. We're gaining about 125 a month. with the program and the information we're delivering. But what social media does is let you get out, and I said before, in front of a large amount of people. Now this is a picture that I found, my wife found it. I'll give her credit because she's like my muse. Okay? But she saw this and says, you need to pay, share this. So I shared it, and it was, I gotta read this. This is my old guy eyes. July 14th at 11 a.m. That's when I shared this. And can you see what it is? It's the plants you buy that spring, hole punch them, put them on a split ring, hang them up on the wall, and you know what you've put in your garden. That's brilliant as far as I'm concerned. Well, if we look at this 2 days later at 11 o'clock, we are up, we've got almost 87,000 reach in 2 days, 48 hours. And now that's not 87,000 that actually read the post, but it appeared in their feed. So I can't speak to a group and get to 87,000 in 48 hours. It's power right there. And by the way, it's up to 97,000 as of this morning. So, and we're getting to 100. I want to get that 100. Twitter, some people don't like Facebook. They like Twitter. And Ellen, my social media specialist, who helps me on all this social media, she has complete autonomy. If she sees a picture she likes with horticulture, she can write the description and attribute it to me. Hey, this is Gary. I found this the other day. Just something like that. And just to get people interested in ornamental horticulture. It works very well. I couldn't do social media all by myself because I actually have a real job. Okay? But we hire her to do it, so more power to her. We're doing Instagram more. This is something that Ellen thinks that we need to exploit a little more because... What? Taken as long as I need. Okay. Now, one of the things we did 2 years ago, we started Facebook Fridays, Facebook Live. The TV that I do is very scripted. It's very edited. It's pretty darn good looking. Even I've been there at those sites, and it looks way better at the finished product. But Facebook Live is, I do 5 to 7 minutes on a Friday, most Fridays. I'm going to miss this Friday, so it'll be Saturday in my yard. I'll just tell you where I'll be at. But 5 to 7 minutes of whatever I want to talk about that day. What's going on in horticulture, tips, ideas. And it, like I say, it's non-scripted. We have technical problems. We run the gamut of issues that we could have. But Ellen, social media specialist, says, I'm keeping it real. Whatever that means, I'm going to do what Ellen says and keep it real, okay? Now, one last thing before we're done. Who here is a CPH or a CH? Certified professional horticulturist or a certified horticulturist? If you're going to go into extension, you better get on this bandwagon here. Having that certification really gives you more street cred with somebody out, a homeowner, when you give them their card, they don't care about the PhD. They really don't care because that's like blah, blah, blah. But they see certified professional horticulturist. That implies, I'm going to say implies, I've had additional training and I maybe know what I'm talking about. So it's very interesting the reactions I get to that. Consider it. I'm serious about it. And so we're going to end, I like this meme. I love this meme. I'm an extension horticulturist. I solve problems you don't know you have in ways you can't possibly understand.
One benefit of being a plant wizard, I can make plants do what I want when I want. Observe my power.
Boom. Okay, if anybody's got any questions, fire away. Thanks, everybody. I told you, didn't I? Who wants to know about extension? Fire rate, come on.
Sometimes it doesn't
Right. Okay, let me make sure I get it right. You know, if you're working in a program that doesn't have an some kind of an extension component as part of your training. Okay, what do you do about that? How do you get that extension experience? Okay, who is a PhD student here? All of you raise your hands. If you want to get part of some experience in extension, you need to get out there and find the horticulture extension specialists that are in your system and talk to them about it. You know, and if you can work out, shadowing, I know it just adds something on to your education. But if you're really interested in extension, that's what you really have to do, because you're not going to get hired in an extension. Well, you will get hired, but you probably will not be very successful if you don't have an understanding of what extension is. That may be too much, but okay. Anybody else? I'm around here till Friday morning, so go ahead and say hi. Okay, thanks guys. Appreciate it.